Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good. You are getting warmed up. The weather does have an impact, doesn't it? Not only on our bodies, but our souls. And we look at that and we just, but Shelley's done a wonderful job. The Spirit of God is here. He's working. He's moving. He's massaging our hearts. He's getting us ready. And we've already met with him, no question, in some very significant ways. So Mike and Sarah, come on up. Lee, come on up. Mike and Sarah Quarter come today, and they bring Hadley, their third daughter, and they dedicate not only Hadley, themselves, and they got Ella Grace and Miss Kate, too, to come this morning, too. So why don't you stand right over there? I'll be here. You go over here for a second. Mike and Sarah are dear friends, been walking with us for a long time here at Christ Community Church, and we're blessed to have them. So we're going to have some time with Mike and Sarah can express their commitment, their hearts, and we've invited Lee, is Micah's dad. Lee Quarter is going to come and then baptize Hadley as well. So we're just thrilled to have this time together. Micah and Sarah, you guys are dear friends, and it is just a pure joy to walk with you and to be neighbors. To look out our back door and see your back door and keep an eye on you. And we love to hear Kate, sometimes when you're on the back porch, and Ella, sometimes when you're on the back porch, we get to hear you. And and that is wonderful. It's one of the sweetest noises in our whole day when we hear you guys back there. But Mike and Sarah, you recognize that Hadley is a gift of God to you, precious gift. As is Ella and Kate, too. And you stand here today ready to confirm and commit that you're recognizing that she is a responsibility before God, that you're relying on him to fulfill what he has for her. So I just ask you to express your commitment by answering your affirmation, your commitment in these simple questions. Micah and Sarah, do you recognize your responsibility before God, the impact of your home life, the impact of your personal life, and that Hadley will learn to walk with Jesus as she watches you guys? If so, please say we do.
We do.
Amen. And then Mike and Sarah, do you promise to pray for Hadley?
We do.
We do.
And will you be responsible for seeing that Hadley is brought up in the training and the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ?
We do.
Amen. And will you, by your prayers and your witness, help Hadley grow into the full stature of Christ? Amen. Those shoes are way too pretty to not be on both feet. One of the very important things of being a follower of Jesus is that you don't follow Jesus by yourself. You follow Jesus in community. You follow Jesus with friends that walk with you through easy times and difficult times. And your presence here this morning as friends of Mike and Sarah, here in this community as family with Mike and Sarah, is very significant because we're going to ask you to affirm, and so would you please stand right now as an act of your intention, your commitment, your willingness to walk with Micah and Sarah, and Ella, and Hadley, and Kate, and to love them, and to pray for them. So I'm going to ask you to affirm that by simply saying, we will, after I ask you, after I read your commitment. And I encourage you to think about the love in your heart for Mike and Sarah, for Hadley, and Ella, and Kate. Think about that right now, what God is doing in them, in you. And when I ask you to respond, would you please respond in such a way that it's consistent with your heart and your love for them. All right, here we go. To the family and the children, the friends, thank you, Zach. Yeah. See, Zach is leading us in the way. Will you, dear friends today and precious family, will you, by your prayers and your witness, help these children grow? Help Hadley grow into the full stature of Christ. If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Amen. just take a moment and take that in. And the power of these prayers over the years for this precious one. So I get to pray for Hadley before I hand her over to her granddaddy. She's right there.
Yeah, I miss Hadley.
Would you join me as we pray for Hadley? Father, thank you for this precious little girl. We thank you for the gift that she is. And we thank you for Micah and Sarah, and we thank you for Ella. Thank you for Kate. We thank you for the way in which you have blessed us with their friendship. And I pray that you would just bless Hadley in who she is as a precious little girl who loves glasses. All right. You can hold on to those. You just hold on to those. All right. Maybe not. All right, here we go. I'll let you. All right, where were we? Here we go. Father, thank you for precious Hadley. who has a word for us. Thank you, Father, for precious Hadley. Father, thank you that her name means Heather Fields, and it is a beautiful image and beautiful picture of your glory and your grace. And Father, we just pray that your glory and your grace would be evident and strong in the life of Miss Hadley. And would you please protect her over the course of her life. And we pray, Father, that she would be filled with the knowledge of you in her life, and that she would quickly come and early in her life come to confess Jesus as her precious Lord and her Savior. And Father, we just thank you for her. We pray your protection over her, and we just anticipate your grace in her life. And please bless Mike and Sarah with great insight into this precious little girl so that they would love her and bring her up in your instruction and your grace. And Father, we pray this all together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come here, Hap. Come on. I can go. Yes. You have anything else?
Yeah, no, you're
good. Sarah, Micah, come over here.
Yeah.
On the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached his great sermon, the people stood and they begged, "What must we do?" Jeff, thanks for having the water here. Hadley Marie, child of the Father, Son of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you in the name of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his blessed Spirit. May you know him now and always. May you come to a time when your faith is personal, appropriate to you, where you live a life that is godly.
Amen. Yes. Bless you. Thank you, Lee and Micah and Sarah. If you don't know that, Lee and Paula Quarter, and we've had a wonderful time of getting to know Bob and Mary, too, the family and the brothers and sisters. We've just been friends, good friends for a long time, and we just really appreciate you all being able to be with us today, too. So if you're in fifth grade and down, you are welcome to head to your Sunday school time this morning, fifth grade and down. The rest, we're going to take a look at what God has to say to us in this book of Hebrews. Nobody really knows the author of this book of Hebrews, but we do know that the Spirit of God was behind it. And if the Spirit of God was behind the writing of this book, that means God has something for you and for me. Because this word is living, it's active, it's sharp. God can take this word this morning and take it to the specific need of your heart and your life. First of all, I just want to commend you for being here this morning. I thought about saying that earlier and have forgotten, but well done on getting here. You broke through some barriers. You got up, you saw some stuff, and you came. Very significant, and I appreciate that. I know God does in a big way. I know other people too, so well done on that. Hear that loud and clear. One of the things that, as you might guess, is on the heart of any person that shares God's word with somebody that they care about and love deeply, is that the sharing of this word doesn't just like bounce off. That it stays and it sticks and you can remember what's going on. So one of the things that we've been doing recently is a very short way to try to remember the essence of this book of Hebrews. So that you can quickly think, what are we doing in Hebrews? And then these few short verses that we're in today, what's the big picture? So you can put it together, and we've summarized it in three very simple, short, you don't have to stand today, you've already stood, so we're just going to do this. But the big deal is just, the first of the three is this, Jesus is better. Jesus is better, He's superior. There is nothing and no one that even comes close to Jesus being the center of our lives. Being at the highest point of our lives, the focus, as Shelley said, the passion of our lives. Nothing, no one, not even the Levitical priesthood, not even this amazing man named Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Angels, none of them. No, Jesus, center, highest, Jesus only. Jesus is better. So doesn't it make sense that if Jesus is better, we focus our eyes on Him? We focus on Jesus, and we keep our attention on Him so that, and here's a third phrase, we don't quit. We endure. We persevere in our marriages, in those rough spots, in those difficult weeks. We don't give up. We hang in there. We keep on a-keepin' on is what we have arrived at. So let's just try. You don't have to stand, but let's just do it in Jesus. Is Jesus is better. Jesus is better. So focus, let's focus on Him and keep on keeping on. That's the essence of Hebrews. The passage that we're in today is what's called a capstone. It's a very significant passage in the whole of the book of Hebrews. One writer that we've been following a little bit said that the passages leading up to this are like a crescendo in a great musical score. We listened to Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony last week, the first movement. Great musical score, but it had this crescendo, but it has this cap, this end, this highest place. And it says the passage we're looking at today is that passage. It's not long, it's short. And if you can remember at the end of our day, three simple phrases that are similar to the ones that we just went through, you're going to have the essence of this passage. For the betterment and for the joy of your heart, your marriage, your kids, your life, this community, this world, the impact, the ripple effect of this passage could be that significant. But we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to start where the writer ends. Because he ends with a phrase that is very important. And I think the phrase that the writer uses to end this passage with is kind of his why. Why in the world would you want to give attention to this passage? Why would you want to have something in your heart say right now, this is important. I really want this to be true in my life. What's the why? And the phrase is this. The last phrase of verse 25 of Hebrews 10, he says this, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So he's going to go through the passage. We're going to walk through this. But at the end, he says, you really want to do this all the more because a day is approaching. The day is approaching. What the writer's referring to here, because in my Bible, the day is a capital D, it's the return of Jesus. It's when he comes back to fulfill all of his promises to their fullest extent. The establishment of his kingdom, the fullness of peace that we all long for, all of that, the fulfillment of the second covenant, Jesus' return, the kingdom coming in all its fullness, that day that Jesus will usher in when he comes. So as that day approaches, do this all the more. Jesus echoes this writer's heart. In Mark chapter 13, verses 32 down to 37, Jesus is describing him coming back. Listen to the words of Jesus to us as he talks about this day and our approach to it. He says this, the hour, about that day and hour, nobody really knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now that's a weighty passage for another day, not today. Nobody knows. But Jesus says this, be on guard. Kind of be on the edge of your seat. Be alert. You don't know when that day's coming. Be alert. Be aware. Be on guard. Verse 35, keep watch. You don't know the day when it's coming. Verse 36, he's coming suddenly. So don't let him find you sleeping. And what I say to you, keep in mind, this is Jesus speaking to us. He says, I say to everyone, watch. Watch. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Do this all the more as you see the day coming. Watch for the day. Live every day like you're anticipating that day could be today. Live like that today. Fascinating passage in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Jesus speaks about a day, a very important day of his coming. The day when he was going to come into Jerusalem and when he hoped that the people that he came to love and redeem, specifically Israel, that he hoped that when he came into Jerusalem, they would recognize that day for what it was. And they didn't. They missed it. They didn't recognize the day. And notice the emotional impact that that had on Jesus. And as Jesus approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, what did he do? Read the passage. What did Jesus do? Because the people missed the day. He wept. Jesus cares so deeply that we don't miss the day, the importance of the day, that when Israel missed it, he wept. He longs for us to live every day with a sense of, it might be today. Jesus might come back. We might see him this day. And all is full. We don't know. But let's live today is what Jesus is saying, as if it might be. But there's another day that I think God wants us to think about. If it's not the second coming, what? It's our day. When we see him at the end of our life. Moses in Psalm 90 says, earlier on in the psalm, he says, our lives are just a vapor. Light a match, blow out the flame, watch that go away. That's how long our lives are. A vapor. So Moses says, teach us to number our days with wisdom so that we can present to you a heart of wisdom. So that means if know that our day's coming. We don't know when that day is either. But live today like that day's coming. Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, by all estimations, really, one of the wisest men that ever lived on this planet, says this in Ecclesiastes, a good reputation is better than a fat bank account. This is from The Message, a different translation paraphrase type of thing. Your death date tells more than your birth date. You learn more at a funeral than you do a feast. After all, that's where we all end up. The living should take this to heart. That's you and me, the living. We should take into account the shortness of our days and the impact that that knowledge should have on our days today. Several months ago, probably at this point, I went to a funeral. I grew up at a church, Cherrydale Baptist in Arlington, and we went back for Mr. Fortune's funeral. I grew up with the Fortune kids. I've known Mr. and Mrs. Fortune for a long, long time. Mr. Fortune is in the presence of Jesus right now. But there was something very significant at that funeral that illustrated this in my own heart. Sitting there, listening to what people said about Mr. Fortune, seeing Mrs. Fortune there, 90-some years old, with oxygen. She needed oxygen. She needed a wheelchair. She's sitting there, a 94-some-year-old woman, lost her husband. But they speak about Mr. Fortune, about how much he loved Virginia, how much he cherished her, and how he spoke about her, and how he loved her into their 90s. And I realized, that's what I want. That's what I want. And it happened at a funeral. It happened when I was thinking about, I'm not going to live forever. I'm going to die one day. And when I die, I want Karis and Anna to be sitting in a row, having people say some things that they said about Mr. Fortune to Cindy. I cherished her. To the day that I died, I was faithful to her. That's what I want. And that's what happened at a funeral. That's why the truth of Ecclesiastes is so powerful. A day's coming. So let's live today like it. Our own culture knows this, realizes this. Lee has a couple songs. One is more familiar. The second, maybe not. I just want to see if you're familiar. Let's have the first one, Lee. A couple measures of the first song. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know we'll have a good time then.
You can raise that up, Kevin, a little bit too. Yeah.
My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today."
Good. Anybody not know this?
He said,
yeah.
That's okay.
Title of the song.
He walked away, but his
Cats in the Cradle. Harry
Chapin.
Yeah.
Like
all right. Second
him.
One, Lee.
Yeah. You know I'm gonna be
thank you.
Like
by the way, not being technical, I have great appreciation for people like Lee that can make this kind of thing happen. So thank you. Yeah, the second one, Lee, maybe not quite as well known, but I'm going to see if you're familiar with it.
Beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the
okay, thank you. Title, easy. How many of you are familiar with that one? Yeah. Mike Rutherford, Mike and the Mechanics, part of Genesis, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, all those guys. In Mike Rutherford's heart and in Harry Chapin's heart, they resonate with this message. Basically, they're saying, I wish I had lived a day differently because of where I know things are heading. And if I had remembered where things are headed a little bit more intently and intentional, I would have lived some of my current days differently. I would have told my father in the living years what I thought of him. I would have spent more time with my kids now because I know a day's coming when they're going to come home from college and I'm going to reap what I sowed. So that's why I think the writer, the Spirit of God, was very wise in ending this passage with this phrase, and all the more, do this all the more because the day's coming. So let's live. Let's find out what he says. He says this. First of all, we can have two sets of confidences. We can walk into these three daily habits, and that's basically what the writer of Hebrews is going to get us to. Three daily habits, weekly habits. He's going to get, it's not complicated, it's three. Summary of the book, he's going to focus on those in just a moment. But we walk into those habits with a basis. We walk into those habits from something that we know. We have a confidence. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way open for us through the curtain. We have confidence to walk in these patterns. We have confidence. We have a boldness. In the message, it says, let's just walk right up to God. Can you imagine that? Walk right up to God with all the boldness and confidence that anybody could ever have. Do that. But why do we do that, though? It's because of the blood of Jesus. We don't walk up to God on our own. We walk up to God with the confidence because of the blood of Jesus. We can enter the most holy place, that place where the high priest, one priest, only entered once a year. The most holy place. We can enter that every day as we live and breathe, every moment, because of the blood of Jesus. And we can do that because it was open for us, because the curtain was torn. There's an amazing scene at the crucifixion of Jesus that you and I, we need to be reminded of right now. This is the crucifixion of Jesus. He's on the cross. It was about noon. Darkness came over the whole land. Try to get this in your mind right now. The image of Jesus on the cross. If the cross helps, maybe that is helpful to get it in your mind. For the sun stopped shining. An amazing event takes place right now. Let's read this together. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Imagine that. The crucifixion of Jesus, there's a curtain in the temple, and what happens? Torn into, ripped apart. Why? Because Jesus' blood, Jesus had finished what he came to do. The curtain was torn, an amazing scene. Because God was trying to get across to you and to me. It's not just once a year, and it's not just by one high priest. We all get to go into the most holy place, the presence of God, as we live and breathe. Because the curtain has been torn, the body of Jesus has been crucified and raised again. We have confidence to enter because of Jesus' blood, but we also have confidence for another reason. Verse 21, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, we have Jesus. We have a high priest. Gives us confidence. We don't go in by ourselves. We go in with Jesus. The great high priest who can sympathize with us, who even a stronger word as it fits, who can empathize. He gets you and me. He gets our hearts. He gets our weaknesses. He gets our fears. He gets our struggles. He gets it all because he walked with us. He was flesh and blood. We have a high priest who can sympathize, empathize. And that's who goes in with us to the most holy place, the presence of God, every day as we live and breathe. Can be. That's what Jesus does. Great high priest. I told you a while back, I got into a little trouble on Route 29 heading south toward a birthday present for Cindy's uncle, Cindy's uncle. I told you this recently. She was encouraging me to speed. Let me just be clear about that. Just before I tell the whole story, we were late for the party and she was saying, no, you need to, you know, pedal to the metal, I think were your exact words. Is that right? If I remember right. So, completely thrown her under the bus. Well, down the hill, who was there but one of Virginia's finest? Pulls me over. Reckless driving. Reckless driving was on the ticket. Over 80. Yeah. You don't just get to pay the fine in Virginia when you're over 80. As some of you, any confessions going on? Several, yeah. I feel much better. you have to show up at court. You have to go physically to court, a reckless driving charge. So I did. So I'm sitting there in this courtroom watching other people to go up, and every now and then somebody would go up and they would have somebody else with them when they approached the judge. And I'm sitting there thinking, that would be nice. That would be nice if I could walk up with somebody and speak to this judge. I would like that. And some of those people had it. It was their attorney, their representative, somebody who interceded for them to the judge. Some of them had it. We have that in Jesus. If you've said yes to Jesus, to the best of your understanding of what he did for us on the cross, he's with us as we approach the Father to intercede for us, to speak for us. We have confidence. We have a great high priest. So this is where I wrote down here, this is where we need to part for just a moment. Now he gets to these three daily habits. He says, put these into practice because you see the day coming. Because you have a high priest, because you can go to the Father. He says three separate times, let us, verse 22, let us, 23, let us, 24. My father affectionately calls this the salad passage. Let us. Let us, no. No, don't go. I just got some evaluation from Mike on the let us. It works for me, but anyway. Let us. The first is this. Let us draw near to God. Because of all this, let's draw near to God. And it's in the plural. It has a personal application, yes. But it speaks to us as friends as we follow Jesus. Let's do this together. Let's draw near to God. With a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. Fully, no doubt, we have confidence. Let's draw near to Him. Let's walk right up to Him because we have confidence that we are sprinkled, we're clean, we're washed with pure water. One of the great benefits of going to seminary is you understand just a little bit about what the writer is saying in the language. And these phrases are what's called in the, it's wonderful for you to know, you should know this, perfect passives. Perfect, you don't have to be a Greek student to get an idea of perfect passive. We stand before God in the blood of Jesus, perfect. Done. Nothing more to be added. And it's in the passive. It means we didn't do it. It was done for us. We're sprinkled. We're clean because of the blood of Jesus. So we can walk right up to God, draw near to Him. Let's do that. Let's walk right up to Him in the very presence of God. We talked about this several weeks ago. Let's listen. Drawing near to God means that we listen. We read His words. We talked, we had a wonderful discussion, a group discussion several weeks ago. How do you draw near to God? And it was wonderful. But one of the commonalities that we noticed through all of it, some of it was sunsets, some of it was sunrise, some of it was nature, some of it was music. God uses all kinds of ways to draw us to Himself. But the common core of that was His words. When we looked at a sunset, some people said, it wasn't, oh, that's a great act of coincidence. No, when people see a sunset and it ministers to them, it's the words of God informing that sunset that there is a Creator that loves you, cares about you in a very personal, intimate way. So the words of God have got to be a part of our listening to Him as we draw near. So let's do this every day. Draw near. Every day, draw near. And a word came to mind thinking about this. The word is this. Until. Draw near. Work at it until something's different in your heart. Don't just say, well, I read this morning and or I listened to this song or I had scripture or something and I'm moving on. Now try to figure out how to do something until. It was at Urbana conference years ago, a missions conference I was at as a college student. Never forgot this. A great missionary to China, an older man got up and began to share how sometimes his heart gets cold and hard. And he said, I would read sometimes the account of the crucifixion of Jesus. I would do that. I would read that over and over and over again until something warmed in his heart. So work at it. Take responsibility. Figure out how to listen to God, how to draw near to Him until something happens. And that's why gathering together is so important. Something happens when we gather together that doesn't happen all the time when we're just by ourselves. Something very important happens when we gather around the family table. And you know this from growing up. When you had those really special times, not every day, but there were times when you'd gather around a table as a family and you think, this is amazing. This is one of the reasons I'm on this planet, is because just what happened around this table as family. Well, that's part of why God wants us to gather together as His family on a regular basis around a table. So that we get something about what it means to draw near to God in a corporate sense. The second one is this. So that's the first one. Draw near to God. There's going to be a quiz at the end, by the way. I'm going to let you know that. So let's draw near to God. Make it a daily habit. Every day. These are called present actives. Present, active. Do it every day. Let us draw near to God. The second one is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For He who promised is faithful. Let's hold to the hope. Let's hold on. Let's keep a good grip on the hope. Shelley talked about this earlier. Let's hold on to this hope of God. And she was exactly right in one of her comments. This hope is not, I hope things get better. I hope circumstances turn out in a particular way. That's not what our hope is in. Our hope is in God. And that He is faithful. He will never not keep a promise that He gives. That's what our hope's in. That's who our hope is in. So circumstances can be blown to smithereens. We can walk through the most desperate of evils in this life, and God is still faithful. He is still going to work peace, shalom. He's going to bring it all together. He is, because He's faithful. Some of you might know the name Stephen Curtis Chapman, a contemporary Christian singer that walked through a desperately difficult time when one of their own sons accidentally hit one of their adopted daughters from China and she didn't survive. They walked through that desperately difficult time. And one of the songs that God brought to Stephen Curtis Chapman out of that tragedy was about God's faithfulness. That even through that tragedy, God showed Himself to be faithful, trustworthy, even in the midst of that. And I've told you the story, if you've been around Christ Community, there was a time when I needed to be reminded of that, and I was screaming that across a bridge going into D.C. in my car by myself. God, You are faithful. Screaming it at the top of my lungs, because I needed to know it at that point in time. So I encourage, let's do this. Let's just do it for just as God is faithful. Let's just shout that. All right, let's call our minds to that. Let's do it three times because I know it's going to take a little bit of a warm-up. So let's just do it. We'll do it one and then two and then three, all right? God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Oh yeah, let's do it together. All right, here we go. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. Good job, Daniel. He is. Let's confess that. Let's hold to that. Let's firm it up in our minds. Let's not let go of that. Let's keep saying it. It's true. Let's keep reminding each other. It's true. God is faithful. This day, this morning, is a great reminder of that. When we look out today, we see cold. We see ice. In my car, it had 6 degrees when I got in this morning. By the time I got here, it had gone up to 8. It's windy. We've all felt that. But what do we know? What's coming, Shelley? Yes. Even with all of this, we know spring is coming. Leaves are going to come on trees. Grass is going to turn green. It's going to get warm, right? It's going to happen. Because why? God is faithful. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Winter, spring, summer, fall. God just does that. He's faithful. So let today, let the coldness of today, let the ice of today remind you. All right. So lastly then, let's hold to the hope that God is faithful. The last one here is let us, how do I have it here? Lee, could you put that up? This is the Greek. Let us how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's read it. Yeah, let's do this. Let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what the writer of Hebrews really means when he says spur one another on? You can put the next slide up, Lee. Or the point, the next one, the coming down. Here's the point. He's basically saying, let's see how inventive we can be with irritating one another. Let's see how inventive we can be about irritating one another, about being irritating. That's what the word spur means. Let us spur one another on to love and good deeds, to keep gathering together, to come alongside. Let's spur one another on. Let's be a pain in each other's rumpus. Let's do that. You know, the spurs on a cowboy's boots, when they dig into the side of a horse, that's painful. But it's spurring the horse on. And that's the idea that the writer of Hebrews is saying today. Let's spur one another on. Let's be irritants in each other's lives. Let's be a pain to one another. If we're not loving one another, let's get in each other's face and say, you need to keep loving your wife. You need to keep loving your husband. And we need not to be afraid to be a pain in doing that. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. Spur, irritating, to love. Get in each other's face. Let's do that. Let's get in each other's face and say, love each other. And if we forget what that looks like, take some time and look at 1 Corinthians 13. Remind yourself of some of the very specific. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. It forgives. Let's love each other and let's get in each other's face about this. Let's get in each other's face about doing good deeds. That's what he says. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's get in each other's face and say, do good things. Get plugged in wherever you are. God has shaped you. You have giftings. You have abilities. You have a personality. You have experiences. It's very unique. And God's wired you, according to Paul in Ephesians 2, not only to save you, but to put you in a body of people so that you can do good deeds. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We sometimes stop at 9 and we don't go to 10. It says, we're God's workmanship. We're His poem, created to do good deeds that He prepared in advance for us to walk in. So let's get in each other's face and say, are you doing good deeds? Let's get in each other's face and say, let's keep gathering. Let's stay together. Let's keep meeting. Let's not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. Let's not do that. Let's get in each other's face and say, let's get around here. Let me just stop for a second. Is there somebody that you're missing? Is there somebody in either your community of faith, wherever that might be, here at Christ Community, is there somebody here today that you're missing? Is there somebody that's come into your mind, a friend, in the youth ministry? Are there kids that haven't been around for a while? Are there friends that you haven't seen? Is somebody coming to mind? Are there names coming to mind right now? Then let's let them know that. Don't expect Liz or Ramon, because they're the elders over connections kind of thing. Let's not wait for them to do that alone. Do it. If you're missing somebody today, get in their face, so to speak, out of love, and say, I missed you. Where were you? I love you. I want you to be here. I want us to walk together. The last thing is to come alongside, to encourage one another. Let's get in each other's face and encourage one another. And the word literally means just to get close. Paraclete. It's the name of the Holy Spirit. Come alongside. Let's get alongside. You can't do that alone. You don't get alongside alone. You have to be next to somebody to encourage them. Julia just sat down next to Deidre. A great picture. She came alongside her. She's encouraged. She's strengthened. It's going to keep going. So let's do that. Let's get in each other's face. Keep getting along. All right, quick review before Shelly comes up team, you can come on up. The worship team's going to lead us in one final song. But a little bit of a review because I want to see if you can remember so that when we walk out those doors, it might stick. And the Holy Spirit can kind of say, remember now, this is what you need to remember. And educational philosophy says simply repeating something back is one of the first steps that you've got it, that it's on the way of remembering. So what's the why? And it's not, I'm not looking for any like cryptic little cat's words. What's the big why? Why did you want to listen today? Somebody tell me. It's okay, you can take some time. The day's approaching. Yeah. Jesus is coming back. We don't know. It could be today. We may not make it till tomorrow. Our day is coming. The day's coming. That's the why. Let's live today differently. Let's tell people what they need to hear in the living years. All right, what are the three daily habits that the writer said, this is important? And they don't even have to be in any particular order. What did you get? What are these? Draw near. Let's walk right up to God. Full confidence in Jesus. Let's draw near to Him. Thank you, Justin. What's another daily habit? Draw near to Him. Second, another daily habit. Hold on to hope. Hold on to this hope. Let's keep a firm grip. God's faithful. Regardless of what we see, He's faithful. The third? Let's spur one another on. Anybody have the gift of irritation? Yeah. Zach points to Morgan. Yeah. Gosh. Nice. Don't want to be in your home this afternoon. Let's have that gift. Let's cultivate the gift of irritating each other. To love and good deeds and hanging in there. Keep gathering. Don't give it up. Let's irritate one another to the day we die, to love Jesus with all of our hearts and to love each other.